As we left off yesterday, we were talking a little bit about the role of Kavana, particularly as it relates to the Malach of Tzeda. So we had a very startling Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi, at least the way the Rashba, the Yerushalmi says, that if a person wants to close the door of his house, he has two intentions. He wants to close doors, he wants to lock things, and keep his house safe. On the other hand, he also wants to trap a deer in the house. He knows full well that the deer is deer, and he wants to trap the deer. So the simple reading of Yerushalmi is that that's okay. You're allowed to lechatchila close the door of the house as long as you have another intention as well. You're not only interested in trapping the deer, you're also interested in closing the door. And the Yerushalmi compared that to if a person is trying to save a baby. So a baby's drowning, he sticks the net into the water, and he tries to scoop up the baby, and in the process he scoops up some fish. Not only does he, in the process, scoop up fish, but he very much intends to scoop up the fish. So the Yerushalmi says, that's okay. So just as the case of scooping up the fish together with the baby is mutter, so to closing the door on to protect the house as well as to trap the deer is mutter as well. So that reading of the Yerushalmi was very, very difficult. So we left off in the middle of the Ran yesterday, the 13th of the Maamar Kamos. So on the back page of the Maamar Kamos, the first one line is mutter. It's about 8 lines from the top. It's the middle of the lot. Udvarv tmuim be'einai harbei. He said that the words of the Yerushalmi, which we had made the Rashba interpret the Yerushalmi, are very, very difficult to understand. Heach evsha shafilu b'miskaven lo ba'adovi aratzvi yehe mutar. He says, how can it be that if a person is intending to close the door on to trap the deer, and yes, it's true, he's also closing the door in order just to keep his house safe. How in the world can we permit that? Because he has to lock his door, not the lalazas malacha b'Shabbos. Why don't we care? We're going to be matir, we're going to permit him to do malacha on Shabbos because he has another agenda, he has to close the door of his house. That doesn't make any sense. V'lo od, says the Ran. And in addition, ela she'ani omer, she'afidlu she'enu miskaven lo be'aratzvi. Even if the person isn't intending to trap the deer, the Rashba was matir based on the Yerushalmi, even if he has a dual kavana. But says the Ran, that's out of the question. That's not even on the radar screen to permit closing the door if you're intending to trap the deer. But even if you're not intending to trap the deer, that should still be a problem. Koshu shadua shatzvi b'socho, since you know for a fact that the deer inside, mish'iev shalo shalo yatzvi nitzav b'socho, and it's impossible for the deer not to get caught. Also, so even that should be also. That's what the Gemara says throughout Masechet Shabbos. The mode of Rabbi Shimon psikreishim v'lo yamos. Because after all, Rabbi Shimon says that's a psikreishim, Rabbi Shimon concedes to. So the Ran is asking a dual question against the Rashba's version of the Yerushalmi. So the Rashba, based on the Yerushalmi, permitted, even if the person is actively planning on trapping the deer, as long as he's also closing the door of his house. So the Ran says, that's impossible, not even to discuss. The person's planning on doing melacha. But the Ran's asking a secondary question, which is more relevant for us, namely, even if you're not planning intentionally on trapping the deer, but you know full well that the deer is going to be trapped, that's also a problem based on the principle of psik resha. So how do we defend the Shittas Rashba? The two questions against the Rashba are very, 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 very powerful. So it's hard to blame the Rashba. Rashba got it from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi made that comparison. The Yerushalmi said, you can close the door of the house just like you can catch the baby. So comes the Ran and says, no. Don't pin the blame on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi didn't really say that. Vezush amu b'Yerushalmi inyan acheru. Says the Ran, that which the Rashba claims the Yerushalmi says, it doesn't really mean that. What that means is as follows. Lema. Shem niskaven lilos beso, v'lo niskaven letzvi klal. What the Yerushalmi meant is that the person's intending only to close the door. He doesn't even know there's a deer there. He has no interest in the deer there. He doesn't even know it's there. So if he doesn't know the deer, what was the shayla? The Yerushalmi came up with some grandiose kula. You're allowed to close the door of your house. If you don't know there's a deer, of course you're allowed to. No, what the Yerushalmi meant is like this. Af apisha charkach motza hatzvi shover b'socho mutter. What the Yerushalmi meant is, at the time that I closed the door, I had no idea that there was a deer. Now, 10 minutes later, I realize there's a deer there. So what do you mean, mutter? Kloma, what it means like this. She'eino mechuyev she'yiftach es beiso. The Chiddush Yerushalmi is, I might have thought that you should be obligated to undo the tzeda. You should be obligated to open up the door because you, in effect, did an act of tzeda, even though you weren't aware of it. Kamash belon, that it's okay. That's what Yerushalmi is talking about. So where's the Rad? I'm sorry, where's the Rashba learned? Yerushalmi is passing a shayla chatchila. Namely, I come and ask a question to Rabbi. Rabbi, can I close the door of my house? I know full well there's a deer here. And by the way, I'd like to have the deer trapped. So the Rashba's version of the Yerushalmi is it's mutter. Hard to understand. The Ran says, no. If the guy's asking the shayla, can I close the door, trapping the deer? Of course that's also. It's also because it's a davra b'chavin mamish. It's also because it's a psik resha. What Yerushalmi is talking about is the person asking the shaylas. There was no, he didn't know there was a deer there. He closed the door, and then 10 minutes later he realizes a deer there. So he wants to know, can I leave the door closed? The answer is yes. So now the question is, I understand why that's mutter, because the malach was done already. But what in the world is the connection between that and the person who's catching the baby? For some chalazel, the Yerushalmi compares this to tinuk with abeb in the heart. The baby is drowning. Not that they're literally the same. Because in the case of the baby drowning, says, of course, in the case of pikuach nefesh, it's going to be mutter to lechatchila, trap the fish, even though you know you're doing a malacha, because you have to do that for the purpose of saving the baby. So says the Ran, if I come and ask a shayla, can I catch the baby, even though I'm going to trap some fish? So the rabbi's going to say, just catch the baby. We'll talk about the fish later. Just do what you have to do. I'm going to trap fish, you're going to trap fish. Pikuach nefesh, almost like drain a cup. It says the Rad, if a person comes and asks the Shaila, can I go ahead and I close the door to my house knowing full well that there's a deer there? Chas v'sholem, he says, whoever heard of such a thing? The Yerushalmi never meant to say it's mamish the same. He says, it's just it's similar in the sense that I'm doing a malachas hete with a malachas isser. In the case of the deer, I ended up, by mistake, not intentionally, I ended up trapping the deer together with closing the door. So that's mutter only after the fact. Whereas in the case of the Pikuach Nefesh, I'm lechatchila trapping the fish and saving the baby. So there's a certain similarity between the two cases. But to say that they're mamish identical, just because things are similar doesn't mean they're identical. They're similar that they look like there's an imalachas issa taking place, but they're very, very different. And in the case of the trapping the deer, under no circumstances will we permit it. So getting back to what we left off with yesterday, we have a major machlokes now between the Rashba and the Ran. How do we pshat Yerushalmi? According to the Rashba, I know, I walk into my house, I see there's a deer in the house. I'm thrilled there's a deer in the house. I also would like to close my door. No one should break into my house. It's mutlach atchilu to lock the door. Even though I'm a chaven, it's psikresh, everything's mutter. And the Ran says, chas v'shalom. The Ran says, it's for sure also if you're mechaven, and even if you're not mechaven, it's also because of psikresh.
But it's also be sort of a I don't know, really, pikuach nevesh, but an issue. If you don't lock your house, it becomes a mokum sakana. So you're going to, on Shabbos, what are you supposed to do? Sleep outside? There's a deer that took refuge in your house?
Okay, so you want to take a third approach to Yerushalmi. Near the Rashba, the Ran. So some want to say that Yerushalmi was driving out. Like you're saying, I want to lock my door because I don't want the Ganavim to come in. I don't want the listen to come in. Okay, if that's the case, then Yerushalmi say almost nothing. Yerushalmi just give you another example of Pikuach Nefesh. Right. Look at them. There's some who want to suggest that.
So according to the Ran, though, you come into your house, you close the door, then you see the deer. I
don't have to do anything about it, right?
Then an hour later, you need to go out to shul.
Then you can open the door, but you can't close it again.
You can't close it.
Right. Might as well stay at home. Right. We'll take the deer with you, right? So the question is, conceptually, the Rashba is so difficult. Textually, in the Rishalmi, the Rashba is much easier. Because the Ran had to explain, it's not really the same, means the door was already closed. But conceptually, the Rashba is very difficult on both grounds. That it's a davar b'chav in mamish and a psik resha. So in terms of the psik resha problem, there is a sefer Shulta Gibarim. So the Gibarim is the notes at the side of the Ran in the quotes from the Rishonim and Masechta Shabbos, where the Shulta Gibarim suggests that maybe the Rashba reading the Rishonim is based on the following. When it comes to psik resha, so we usually describe psik resha as meaning I do action X and action Y is going to result. action X is a davar mutar, action Y is a davar aser. What if I do action X and two things result? Action Y and action Z. So it's like geometry a little bit. I'm doing the first action, and that's perfectly okay. And now action X is branching off the two ways. Action Y is resulting, and action Z is resulting. It happens to be that Y is a malacha, and Z is not a malacha. Would you call that a psik reisha or not? So the Shulchan Gibbon says that maybe no. Maybe that's not called a psik reisha. Whenever a dovra mutter is also schlepping along, so maybe that's not considered to be a psik reisha altogether. So says the Shulchan Gibbon, maybe that's what the Rashba and the Rishalmi's version of the Rashba are driving at. I'm closing the door. The act of closing a door per se, there's nothing, not a malacha altogether. There are two different things that are resulting. Number one, my house is being protected. And number two, my deer is being caught. So comes the Shulchan Gibbon and says, maybe that's not called a psik reisha. A psik reisha is only when there's a direct correlation between X and Y. Not just direct, but only a correlation between X and Y. There's nothing else that's happening along the way. But if there's any other way that I can explain away, any other action, subsequent actions happening, maybe that's not called the psik reisha altogether. Now that lumdus would fit potentially into some of the ideas we've been talking about psik reisha in the past. If you remember last week, we mentioned for Rabbi Yochanan that the whole lumdus of psik reisha may be the fusing of actions. If you remember, Rabbi Yochanan said that maybe psik reisha means when you're doing X and you know for a fact that Y is resulting, we call that XY. It's called one new unit, one entity, one maisa. So maybe one can argue that when do we say that XY becomes one maisa, that's when it's only XY that's up for grabs. But if it could just as easily be called XZ, so maybe you don't call it XY. Maybe the whole principle of psik reisha is only when you're forced to say that this maisa is resulting in this malacha. Anytime there's another way to explain what you're doing, it's resulting in another action, which itself is mutter, maybe that's not considered to be psik reisha. It's a very, very difficult hagdar. We're not quite sure. I don't know whether every case of psik reisha is going to actually fit into this.
So I'm doing the intellectual dime on my neighbor's land. So I'm doing a heter action. I'm washing my hands. That's Y, right. The grass is being watered, that's Z. So then,
right, but wait,
or am I missing?
So what the Shulchan Gibbon is saying is that the closing of the door somehow could be divorced from the guarding of the house, which I don't understand why that is. What is the difference between that and the I'm pouring water, so now the water, so I'm washing those Tosidayim. So call that pouring water and call it washing those Tosidayim. I'm not sure where that breakdown is. Okay, I may agree to you. What's even more troubling is that the Shulchan Gibbon will only answer half the kashas. It's only going to answer the psikratia part of the Shaila. If it does, it's not going to give us the door from a mamish. The Rashba was even more making. The Rashba said you can close the door knowing that there's a tzvi there, not just knowing, intending to trap the deer. So that part is very, very difficult to understand. So there is a second approach that's given to explain this otherwise very, very difficult Rashba and Yerushalmi that's based on the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer suggests that maybe this Rashba and Yerushalmi is not a rule that permeates all of the Shabbos, but there's something unique about the Malach of Tzeid. We have to take a little bit of a step back. Malach of Tzeid is a very, very strange Malach because Tzeid can be violated in multiple ways. Either it can be tzad something by literally grabbing onto the animal, by physically touching the animal, holding on to it, that's a ma'aseh tzedah. But that's not the way most of the time the malach is violated. Most of the time the malach of tzedah is violated when I don't even touch the animal altogether. Or let's say all the cases of a tzad tzvi. There's a deer running around, I close the door. Or all the cases that we spoke about in the past, that the birds flying around, the fish, I do something which is external, which now corners the animal. That's also considered to be tzedah. That's tzedah deraisa. So asks the Avnei Nezer, how could tzad tzvi ever be chayv? How did the case of Nola's Beiso, a person has a deer inside the house, and he closes the door intending to trap the deer. No other intention, that's it. No other agenda. I'm closing up the door in order to trap the deer. Why is that considered to be a malacha at all? I'm not doing the malacha to the cheftza. I'm not doing the maisa, they were a brisket terminology, I'm not usually doing the maisa, not doing the pe'ula to the cheftza itself. I'm doing something which is external. I'm 20 feet away from where the malacha is taking place. We may even want to call that a word that's become very controversial these days. Maybe it's called grama. Maybe that's considered like a grama. It's like too far removed. I understand when I take a pencil and I write letters, that's called a malacha. I understand when I strike a match and I cause a flame, that's called grama. I understand I, when the malacha is done, by the mice it relates directly to the chepza. I understand what that's considered to be malacha. But over here, I'm closing the door over here, and 20 feet away, a deer is getting caught. Why is that called malacha altogether? Shouldn't that fall into the category of grama? So the truth is that, says the other days, that that's not really our question. The Gemara already has a similar type of a question by other malachas. The Gemara has such a question by the Malach of Zora. We spoke about this 2 years ago. Malach of Zora, winnowing. The person throws something up to the wind, and the wind comes and separates, the force of the wind separates the good from the bad in terms of the grain. That's considered one of the Lamatas Malacha. So the Gemara says, how is that Malacha? It's Mamish Grama. I'm throwing it up to the wind, and then I'm going to sleep. Then 5 minutes later, the wind is coming and moving around. Why is that considered to be my mice? That should be a grama. So the Gemara says, no. That's not considered to be grama. You know why? The Gemara says, Maleches Machsheves Asra Torah. The Gemara says that since that's what I'm planning on doing, that's what my kavan is, that's what my machshav is, so that's considered to be a malacha. Now, usually the term malachas machshavas is used in a different context. Usually malachas machshavas means that even though I'm doing the malacha, there's something lacking in my intention, and the lack of my intention is going to be a poter. Malachas machshavas is usually a kula. Malachas machshavas is a makia. Malachas machshavas is a way to get out of a problem. So otherwise, I should have been chayev. I did a ma'aseh malacha, but I was doing it for a different purpose. I wasn't sure exactly what I was doing. I got mixed up. That's called malachas machshavas asra Torah liptur. Here, the Gemara in the sixth Mechel Bava Kama uses the principle of malachas machshavas in the other direction. It's using malachas machshavas lechumra, leesar. That means we should have, based on the regular rules of ma'aseh and grama, we should have labeled zora as not a malacha, because it's a derech grama, it's so far removed from me, it's indirect. Kamash b'la malachas machshavas, that's considered to be a malacha. So malachas machshavas can be used l'kulam, that's 90% of the time, and every once in a while it uses l'chumra as well. So says the Avnei Nezer, maybe that's the word in malachas tzeda as well. It means in l'chinami, that tzeda ba'atzmuso, tzeda b'tamatzmo, based on its own merits, really should have failed, really should not have been a malacha. If I trap the animal directly with my hands, that's a malacha. But I close the door, that shouldn't really be a malacha. But malachas machshavas asra Torah. But that's what I want to do. That's my plan. That's what I'm trying to accomplish. So comes the Avnei Nezer and says, since the very mechayev of malachas tzeda is predicated on the assumption that it's your machshava that's doing the trick, it's ultimately your machshava that's transforming what should have been a grama into a malacha biyadayim, that makes sense when you're really having a machshava. But if you're not really having a machshava, your whole machshava is derech psik reisha. It means you're not really planning. Your real intent here is not to trap the animal. What you really want to do is to close the door of your house. It happens to be a nice side benefit is that the animal is getting trapped. When do we say that your kavana, your machshava, transforms grama into a maisa? That's all you're thinking about. That's your entire goal. Your entire intention is to trap this animal. That's called maisa machshava tchila. That's called malachas machshava sasa taira. But if you are closing the door for half a dozen other reasons, I'm closing the door because I don't want the gedolim to come in. I'm closing the door because it's cold outside. I'm closing the door because it's hot outside. It happens to be, as an aside, the animal's getting trapped. Great, but I'm thrilled that the animal's getting trapped. But you can't call my machshava a machshava of trapping an animal. My machshava has half a dozen other parts to its agenda. Says the Avnei Nezer, that's the chisara. You can't turn around and combine what would otherwise be a grama with a psik reisha and cause trouble in Ochel Shabbos. The only thing that can make a grama into a ma'aseh mamish is machshava mamish. Once the machshava is only derech psik reisha, that's not going to be a problem. According to this Avnei Nezer, we come out really a tremendous kula. What it almost sounds like he's saying is that when I'm not doing something to the chefza directly, when I'm 20 feet away and I'm setting up some kind of a stage, that a malach is happening almost by itself, the only way to make me chay for that is to invoke malach and chashev zos haTorah, but you can't do that derech psik reisha. That would be a potential kula. There's some posts can quote this Avnei Nezer as a potential kula in terms of a shadow we spoke about many times, walking past lights or walking past motion detectors, all this kind of walking with cameras, all this kind of stuff. What's the shadow? There's a malach that's happening 20 feet away. So I'm walking over here, and that's triggering off a whole system that malach is happening. Could one potentially call that derech grama? According to Rav Neda's model, that when I'm closing the door over here, and now it's say that's happening somewhere else, can you potentially call that Derech Rama? If, again, it's a big jump, if that's true, that's called Derech Rama, but I'm Alachas Machshavas Osra Torah, so now, if I'm walking past the camera, and I'm having in mind to be photographed, I want to be photographed, I want someone to take this picture of me, so that's a much more serious problem. Then Malach B'chshev Sosra Torah. But if I'm walking past the camera, and I'm B'chlal, not interested in it happening, or it's at least a P'sigresha, so maybe one can argue that a P'sigresha on something which in and of itself may have been labeled as Derech Rama, and it's only elevated to Maisa because of my Machshava, when my machshava is not a real glat machshava, my machshava is just a machshava kind of derech segresha, maybe that doesn't happen. So that's another limud chos. Some poskim wanted to be makel, to walking past some of the cameras, but tzir of this cool. There are other coolers also possibly, but this was something that was suggested. The only question is, do we the fancy lomdus of the Amnenez and the Rashba, do we accept this Rashba l'halacha not? So most of the poskim write in Shulchan Aruch that we don't really accept this Rashba. Harai, we don't accept the Rashba. Everything we spoke about earlier in the week and last week, we had a whole machloikis with the box of the flies, the machaber and the ramah, with the tour, with the sefer trumas. Can I close the box, to sit in the box, in order to trap the flies? So we had a question, is that a psikration? The nichalei psikration is a little nichalei. It is a psikration on a one derabon, it's a psikration on a two derabon, it's a psikration on a three derabon. We had 100 different factors that went into that shayla. Both the Mechaber and the Ramah discussed the shayla. So the truth is, they did come to different conclusions about how much are we really going to be making on psikration, well, nichalei is a derabon, one derabon, two derabon. But nobody in Shulchan Aruch said, by the way, why are we spending our time talking about this topic? It's mutter anyway, because based on the Rishalmi. So that's what the poskim point out, the Magen Avraham, Rav Kivega, the Gedolei Acharonim, and Shulchan Aruch point out that this Rashba is nice for longness, but the Maisa nobody accepted it. That the whole Rashba is based on this Rishalmi, where the Ran gave an alternate reading of the Rishalmi. They weren't 100% sure about the Ran's reading, but the Maisa, the Ran gave an alternate reading of the Rishalmi. None of the poskim and Shulchan Aruch seem to accept this Rashba lahalacha. So we have to be a little bit weary before we're going to build the whole mountain out of this Rashba, if we're not even sure the whole Rashba is accepted by Allah. So when all the dust settles, we spent a lot of time talking about Kavana, and Davashir Miskavins, and Psikratias, and Davachamin Mamish, as it plays out in terms of Malacha Seda. And now it's really is the bridge to the next Sugya. We don't have the Mam Kamas yet, but it's we'll just introduce quickly the beginning of the. Do we have the next one? No, I don't think so. We could.
I have one quick question. Does the Malacha Seda, does one have to actually set the trap? Suppose the standard case of you're setting a trap in the forest for an animal.
Yeah.
You have to do that on Shabbos.
Yeah, absolutely.
Itself.
Yeah, if you do it before Shabbos. It's mutter, right? It's
you do it before Shabbos.
Mishnah.
Even though the animal does.
Right. It goes, so Shabbos,
it has to be on
Shabbos. Right. Well, Bishabbos' opinion is that Shvisa's Kalim is also, that I'm not even allowed to set up that my Kalim do Malach on Shabbos. So we don't pass like that. That's the mission at the end of the first Baruch of Shabbos.
Is it possible the distinction between closing the door in my house and closing a box?
The box is too close.
A small box, the remote.
I mean, you want to argue that the box is so close, so maybe that's considered to be a maaseh mamish. Question: L'chora maaseh mamish means that I'm touching the animal itself. It's not clear. I'm not sure about that.
Do we think that this tzeda of closing the door of the house is the tzeda
d'oraisa? The Mishnah says it. The Mishnah speaks about closing the door as being a d'oraisa, yeah.
Of your house. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah, the Mishnah is. Yeah,
the Mishnah is.
If you have a deer that comes to the house and you want a deer, that's the normal way of catching it.
So, according to the Rashba, maybe even the Ran, sounds like the deer thing is a once-in-a-lifetime type of a thing. If it happens, if you live in a... right next to a forest, and it happens on a somewhat regular basis, or could happen that you find deers in your houses, does that change the secretion, you know, because it's happening.
Now it's more of a secret. It's more, make it better or worse?
I guess worse, because...
Now it's a secret. Every time, a normal guy, when I walk to my house in Bergenfield, and I shop this morning, I close the door, I hope, I don't have to make a cheshman, maybe there's a deer inside.
Right.
I don't live in Muncie, maybe. I don't know, maybe you don't have to make such a judgment. Right.
But would you have to, but if it's...
That touches on what we spoke about in the past, about suffering segregation. That goes back to the Taz, and back to the Kivagan, the Malachas story. Right. Maybe it would change things. So we move into a similar topic in terms of Kavana for Tzeda, but here, unlike everything we've been talking about up to now, where the person wasn't quite 100% sure that he was doing Tzeda, or even if he knew he was doing Tzeda, he wasn't really interested in doing Tzeda, the next sugya begins with a person who knows very much that he's doing Tzeda, and he intends very much to be doing Tzeda. That's the shayla. That sounds pretty bad to me. But he's doing tzedah for a fundamentally different reason. He's not doing tzedah for the purpose of using the animal. Usually when you trap a deer, trap the deer so I can then shech the deer. I'm trapping the animal, I'm trapping the bird, trapping the fish so I can eat the fish. Over here, the person is trapping the deer, trapping the other animal, not because he wants to use it, but because he dafka wants to remove it. He dafka doesn't want it. He doesn't want it to be running around. So he wants to close it. The deer ran into his back room, so he wants to dafka close the deer off. That's a tzeder. Can't call that a tzeder shloba kavana. It's a kavana tzeder, but it's a tzeder with a different intent, with a different purpose. So that's where the next sugi begins, where the Gemara gives us examples of these kinds of tzeders, and leaving out the case of the deer, go back to the case of things that a person generally doesn't want around. Hatzad nachash. A person traps a snake. Hatzad nachash lo yishchenu. The reason why he's trapping the snake is because he doesn't want the snake to bite him. Now again, he knows that he's doing an active tzeda, he's intending to do an active tzeda, but he's doing it for a different agenda, different purpose. Is that considered to be tzeda or not? So the Gemara makes a blanket statement in the beginning of Masechah Shabbos, and later on again in Masechah Shabbos, Hatzad nachash lo yishchenu mutter. Gemara says that it's mutter. So the truth is that the Gemara really has to qualify that. It really says that tzad nachash lo yishchenu potter. So the Gemara says that normally potter means potter v'alosar. Usually potter means it's also midrabanan. But this is one of those few examples, one of the three cases in Shas where potter means potter v'mutter. So the Gemara says that tzad nachash lo yishchenu is mamish mutter. It's mutter l'chadchila to trap the snake so that it doesn't bite you. So the Gemara asks, why is that mutter? What's that based on? Before we get to issues of pikuach nefesh, so it's not a poisonous snake for now. So why is that mutter? Tzad nachash lo yishchenu, why is that mutter? So the Gemara says, it's based on the machlokes Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon about malacha shenetzricha l'gufa. So the chazar again, we said this many, many times, if a person does a malacha, they know exactly what they're doing. They're intending to do it. It's not psikresh. It's mamish adavar mechavi mamish. But they're doing it for a different reason. It's a different purpose. They have a totally different purpose as was practiced in the Mishkan. That's called malacha shenetzricha l'gufa. The example the Mishnah gives in Shabbos is a person carries out a dead body on Shabbos into the street. So he knows exactly what he's doing. He's carrying and there's no eruv and he knows exactly what he's doing. But he's not doing it to use the body. He's doing it to remove the body. So when you remove something, that's a different agenda. It's a different purpose. It's a different purpose in the Gamri from what was done in the Mishkan. That's a machlokes Zetanoim. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter what your purpose is. If you did the Ma'aseh Malacha, you were cognizant of what you did. You were planning on doing it. You know exactly what's happening. The fact that you have a different reason for what you're doing, that doesn't make any difference at all in the Torah. And Rabbi Shimon says no. Rabbi Shimon says Malacha Shehesef Lagufa is Potter. That means a Diaraisa it's not going to be. At worst it's going to be, is going to be a Dirabanan. Well, it's a big machlokes Zetanoim, machlokes Rishon and a Paskin. Get to it as the sugya continues. Comes the Gemara Masechah Shabbos and says, based on Rabbi Shimon Shita, we can understand why Atzad Nachash Lo Yishchenu was mutter. Because since your purpose is not to trap the snake to use it, you're not interested in having a pet snake. You're interested in removing the snake. So min haTorah, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not also anyway. It's only an issur derabanan. But makom tzar lo gozer rabanan. The guy very much would like not to get bit by the snake. So again, if it would be a real deraisa, that wouldn't be grounds to be matter. But since it's only a derabanan anyway, because this statement in the Gemara is following Rabbi Shimon's view, since it's only derabanan based on malach shetich legufa, therefore we're going to look the other way. We're going to permit what would otherwise be an issa derabanan. So the Gemara says in Shabbos that's the reason for the heterah, but tzad nachash lo yishchenu. Because it's not a deraisa anyway, because we follow Rabbi Shimon, it's only derabanan. Makom tzar is mutter. That is the source for tzad nachash lo yishchenu mutter. The sugya now begins with the shita of Rambam. The Rambam happens to be the Rishon, one of the few Rishon who paskins like Rabbi Yehuda in Malach Shetzich Lagufa. For whatever reasons, the Rambam had a different way of reading the Maskanas of Gemara. So the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that Malach Shetzich Lagufa is in fact Chayav. Yet the Rambam quotes this Lahalacha Tzad Nachash Lo Yishchenu being Mutter, which is Mamash Apella, because the prerequisite for paskining this Din of Tzad Nachash Lo Yishchenu being Mutter is the fact that you follow Rabbi Shimon, and the Rambam clearly doesn't say that. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, the next year, I don't know whether we'll have a Yontif Shir or whatever it is on Friday, but whether Friday will be a regular Shir or a pre-Shavuot Shir, hopefully the next time we get to a regular Shir, so we have to deal with this with the Shittas Rambam. Okay, stop.